7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Okay, as you have probably figured out, it is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I find myself vaguely unprepared because I got no tea. Kind of having a busy morning. It is, in fact, still morning. Rare. Turn on the water to get some hot water going. Oh, yeah, here comes the cat. I'm wondering. Oh, hi. You gonna give me some yangs? Yeah, you're the kittiest kitty of all kitties in Kitty Town. That's why they made you kitty president. Yeah, it's so nice. I'm just sitting here looking out my window, seeing what the temperature is. Oh, it's about 34 degrees Fahrenheit. You want to go outside? You can't go outside. It's too cold for kitties. Yeah, too cold for babies. Okay, so what are we doing? We're making tea is what we're doing. Waiting for the water to get hot. Oh, my God. I'm getting low on sugar. Am I going to be able to get through the day on this amount of sugar? Yeah, I think so. Still, I could go to the store later. Yeah, you're a baby. Uh-huh. We know who the baby is here. And here's what we do. We fill the cup up. This is how we make speed tea. And that, of course, means tea in a rapid manner, not tea with, you know, speed in it. And we microwave this for 1 minute. Yeah, you're a kitty. Then we come over here and we fill this big pot full of water. Well, not full. But first we gotta rinse it out. Then we heat it up. Then we do the double heat, the final rinse, pour that out. And now we actually fill the vessel with water. We're not filling it, we're only filling it to a depth of about 1.5 centimeters. And somebody's yanging. Somebody says yang-a-langs. So we'll flip the water over to cold. Oh, do you want some kitty water? Is that what a kitty wants? Yeah, that's what a kitty wants. So we pick up the kitty cup, pour out the old water, put in the new water. Microwave is ready. Put the cup of water down. Here's your water, Yang Blangs. Oh, you want some waters? There's some water for you. Oh, my God. So that'll shut the cat up. And we open up the microwave, take out the giant cup that is steaming. We pour in the sugar. The sugar. And we shake the cup around a little bit to dissolve the sugar while we wait for the water to boil. This is the part where I ask my cat, did you get that thing I sent you? Okay, good. I don't know if you could hear it, but she went, brrr. No, we're not going outside. It's winter. Yeah, it's winter. We're not going outside because that's where kitties get frozen. Do you want to get your kitty ass frozen? No, you don't want to get it frozen. Do you want to get your kitty toes all cold walking in the snow? Yeah, I know you do. There isn't actually much snow out there. There's just some snow on the deck. What? You're being so plaintive and yangy. What you doing? Want me to pet you up? Oh, I'll pet my kitty. Who's a good baby? Yeah, you're a good kitty. Yeah, okay, see you later. All right, is this water boiling yet? Almost. It's thinking about it. So what do we do in the meantime? I don't know. Walk back down. Oh, wait. Maybe we need to see if the old Zook is in tune. Zook is sort of in tune, but my fingernails are too long to play it. And somebody's still over here yanging up the yangs. Yeah, I hear you. Yes, you're a good baby. Everybody thinks so. Yes, it's a good Pippa. He'll bawl around to you, too. Well, it's because you're a baby. You want to jump up on your bucket? You want to jump up? No. No, I'm sorry, I cannot open the door. It's too cold. It's cold outside. It's just barely above freezing. Yeah, we don't need a frozen baby. We don't want any kitty popsicles around here. No, no kitty popsicles. We're not going to freeze any kitties. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not going to freeze any babies. Besides, the water's boiling. It's time for me to make some tea. Yeah, I gotta make tea because I'm thirsty. Because this is Dubious Goals Committee. You gotta drink tea. You guys gonna rub your face on stuff? You're gonna rub your face on the wall? Do you think that'll help you get outside? Because no kitties are going outside. So sorry. What do you think about that? Well, you look nice and fluffy because last night we spent so much time with the brush, huh? Oh, you got your face all brushed up. Look how cute you look. You're a super kitty. Okay, I gotta make tea. You gonna rub your face against the microphone some more? Yeah, you own it. You own it, because you rub your face on it. Is the water boiling yet? Yes, the water. She boils. So here's what we do. We lift it up with a towel and we pour the water into the cup. Oh boy, I don't want to see the state of the tea situation. Yeah, we're down to, oh my god, one box plus three tea bags. Which means we're going to have to go to the store and buy tea soon. Otherwise I'm going to have to drink something else. I could drink the Jiguanyin if I had to, I guess. Alright. The tea bag is in the teacup. Now we just need to wait. I'm setting a timer on my microwave. Where's that baby going? You're going over by the door, that's fine. Oh, she's gonna play with a paper bag over there. Okay, that'll be fun instead of going outside for cats. And so now I will walk back downstairs into this room where I have my classical music station on. What is we playing? We're playing some Schobert. Schobert. Seems like it's all been foshed the last couple days. Maybe, maybe not. Now we've got some Halvorsen. And the thing I hate the most about this is it gives us these little fake facts that people think are important. Did you know Johann Halvorsen was appointed as the principal conductor of the Bergen Philharmonic in 1893? Are you trying to pretend to be smart? Throwing out the useless trivia there? Yep. Somebody's a pseudo-intellectual. My favorite. Okay, well, so I'm gonna sit down here. Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice? And you know what? I used to know somebody named Halverson. What was that guy's name? What was his first name? I want to say Doug. Doug Halverson? Yeah, this is a guy that I... How did I ever meet this guy? Oh, you know... This is back a few years ago when I was building rockets. And I spent a lot of time in one particular store buying parts and stuff and talking to the guy who ran the store, who was also a big rocket head. And we got talking about something. He's like, oh, well, do you know this guy, Doug Halverson? And I'm like, no, I've never heard of him. I said, yeah, well, he's from blank. And now I can't remember. One of the outlying towns that ring Omaha, you know. He was maybe an hour or an hour and a half out or something. I can't remember. But it turned out that this guy was a fairly young guy, like in his 20s. He was actually creating a line of rocket kits. Little rockets. Little, you know, not the big stuff. Little model rockets. And he had all kinds of bizarre designs. Designs for rockets that, I don't want to say, are old-fashioned. What's the word I'm looking for here? There was a lot of stuff done in model rocketry that sort of didn't take off or was popular back in the 70s or stuff like that. You know, like glider rockets and blah, blah, blah. When this guy was working on all kinds of that old-style stuff. And he was, yeah, he was doing the whole thing. He had it, by the time I heard about this, I think everything was in production. Kits were in production in China, and they just needed to be packaged. And about a year after I'd heard of this guy, started seeing these kits in various hobby stores. I think it was called Halverson Designs. And this guy eventually ended up joining the local rocket club. So I sort of got to know him then. And he's a very interesting character. Very kind of... I don't know how to describe this guy. Because he was sort of, you know, a country guy. But he was also something of a turbo nerd. And so it was a sort of this weird country nerd vibe that was really unusual. Because around here, when you get country guys, you can tell. I mean, these guys are, you know, big, they're tall, they've got some serious body mass, and they're usually very strong because, well, they work on farms and ranches, and working on a farm or a ranch is very demanding physical labor. You should have seen the state football championship this year. Some of these guys, these 18-year-old guys, are just massive. You know, you throw straw bales around for a while, and you get big. But this rocket guy, he wasn't like that. He was the kind of guy who dressed like you were expecting to see a slide rule on his belt, or at least a pocket calculator. If you sort of think back to the 70s, what 70s nerds looked like, that's kind of what this guy was like. I thought this guy was awesome. He was so cool because he was kind of a dork. But these are the kind of people I like. And after all, he did put together an entire line of rocketry kits. How many kits were in that series? It might have been a dozen. Oh my God, and I could talk to that guy for hours on end, and I often did. I wonder what he's up to these days. I would love to run into him. Yes, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, you belong to a club? I thought you weren't a club joiner. No, I'm not. I'm not normally a club guy, but a number of years ago, for a couple of years, I did belong to a rocket club. And this rocket club was, well, basically there are two rocketry governing bodies, and they each have their own, you know, little clutches, their own little clubs. And the two governing bodies are basically the Amateur Model Rocketry Club. I forget what it's called. I think that's what it's called. Amateur... Man, anyway, it's for the people who do model rocketry. If you've ever purchased an Estes rocket kit, blah, blah, blah. These kind of people. A lot of kids. The other governing body is called... Well, as far as I know, it's still called Tripoli. And this is the governing body for high-power rocketry. The very large stuff that tends to be dangerous. But our local rocket club was a local franchise for both of those. Usually these are separate, but... You know, in Nebraska, things are really weird. Our state government is one single house. We don't have a Senate and a House of Representatives like you do in your state. We just have the unicameral. We have this weird parliamentary thing that nobody else has because we're awesome here in Nebraska, and we can't be bothered doing your common stupid stuff. But anyway, speaking of this rocket club, there was a lot of interesting people in it, including a young woman named, what was her name? Yeah, Kathy. And she was a nurse, and she was around my age or younger, a little bit younger. And of course, she was the only female in the club. This is pretty much a guy thing. Yeah, well, except for, you know, occasionally you get wives showing up at launches, but not usually coming to meetings, although sometimes it happens. Oh, and there was one guy whose daughter was in the club. But those people are a different story altogether. But Kathy, she was the most interesting person in the club. I was fascinated by... You know, why would you want to do this? And one day we actually found out. Somehow we were talking about how we got into rocketry. And a lot of people had really common and boring answers, including myself. You know, why am I into rocketry? Well, because I like to burn things. I like explosives. I like gunpowder. I like things that go very fast. You know, what's not to love about rocketry? What's not to love about spending a few hundred dollars in 1.4 seconds? All right, there goes the timer. My tea is ready. So, Kathy, who... was an interesting person and rather attractive. You know, she was asked, well, how did you get into this? Why are you here? Why did you join this club? That kind of thing. Oh, and the tea is way too hot. We're going to leave the lid off there for a minute. And so the answer that we got from Kathy was, well, you know, one day I was watching a thing on TV about the space shuttle. I was watching, you know, a space shuttle launch. They were launching the space shuttle, and I started thinking, well, how does that work? And so she decided to look into rockets, joined a rocket club, and started building. And what... Actually, she didn't start building immediately. She would just hang out at the meetings and go to the launches. And at one point in time, I was wondering, is she a rocket Betty? You know, is she the type of girl who just likes guys who are into rockets, and so she wants to hang out with rocket guys? Or, you know, what's the deal? Or did she think, I want to find a smart boyfriend. Where do I find a boyfriend who's not an idiot? You know? And so she's like, maybe I'll join a rocket club. I don't know. But no, at first she didn't build any rockets. She never launched anything. And then she decided to take the plunge. And I don't really remember how it came about, but she... For her first rocket, she decided to build, what was it, a 4-inch or a 5-inch AMRAAM? An AMRAAM is a, I think it's, is it an air-to-surface missile? Or is it the other way? I can't remember. Is it an anti-plane missile? She decides to build something complicated, is what I'm getting at. You know, she doesn't do the typical beginner thing where she builds a typical beginner's rocket. It's real simple. No, she decides to build a scale, a quarter, what was it, a half scale or quarter scale model of a very specific piece of war ordnance. And you can look this up if you want. AMRAAM. AMRAAM. And it was beautiful. So I can't remember if it was 4-inch or 5-inch. This is, of course, the diameter, all right? This thing is about 8 feet long. This is a pretty big rocket. And she did an unbelievable job on it. She worked on it for months, and she lived in a small, one or two bedroom apartment, and she just had this out in her living room as she was putting it together. And this is a rocket that has a lot of detail. You know, there's rivets and there's little stuff all over the surface of it. And there's a lot of painting involved and a lot of lettering and wording and all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. And so I to this day, I wondered, was she just really into modeling? You know, is she into rockets or does she actually like to model things? But, you know, we did go over to her apartment once, me and my friend Doug, not the same Doug Halverson. This is, you know, Doug, the Doug we've all known. And I just had a Sharpie. Anyway, yeah, me and my friend Doug, I forget what we were doing, but so we went over to her place, and you know, she didn't have any other models sitting around, did she? I don't remember. I would have laughed to walk in there and, you know, see a bunch of Mobile Suit Gundam models or something. That would have been hilarious, but no, she decided to make this big AMRAAM. And yeah, she did eventually launch it. And she used that particular rocket in her certification. And I remember being there, and I think it was a successful flight. I'm pretty sure it was. Was that a level 1 or a level 2 certification, though? Yeah, I don't remember. But, yeah. Rocket Club. Girls in Rocket Clubs. Rocket Girls. So, anywho. Oh, the tea is still hot. In the world of high power rocketry. Now I know what you're thinking. Well, what's high power rocketry? High power rocketry is anything that uses a G size motor or above. No, wait. I think G is still mid power. Yeah. E, F, and G are mid power rockets. A, B, C, D are those little Estes rockets that you played with as a child. And maybe you still play with them today. But high power rocketry is anything that takes a motor of I impulse or higher. No, of H impulse or higher. To me, it's I, because why mess with an H motor? I mean, come on. You just stick two G motors in there and you're good to go. Oh, I have an H motor. Oh, yeah, but I'm an I guy. I do love the I-211. The I-211 is probably my favorite. Oh, my, I was going to say, my favorite low-power rocket motor. That's low power to us. It's low power to me. It's not exactly low power if the largest, you know, rocket motor you ever put in a rocket was a C6. Yeah, an I-211 is a is a little bit bigger. An I-211 is about the size of, you know, the cardboard tube inside of a roll of paper towels. So yeah, you know, picture that as a rocket motor. You know what we're talking about. Yeah, it's 38 millimeters in diameter. Just like the tube in a roll of paper towels. My next favorite motor is the J350. J350s are awesome. Again, 38 millimeters in diameter, but, you know, they're about a meter long. Not quite a meter, not quite 3 feet. So, you know, if you're having a hard time envisioning that, if you've ever seen a roll of Christmas wrapping paper, you know, imagine that's a rocket motor. Yeah, now you can see why we're having so much fun playing with, quote, toy, end quote, rockets. Because they're fun, and you can put big, big motors into really, really little rockets. And that's my thing. In the rocket club that we belong to, a lot of people were in it for the modeling. There's a couple of guys especially. You know, they liked to model old spacecraft. Or one of the things one guy used to do, and even though I didn't like this guy, I did appreciate what he did. What he liked to do was to scale up old Estes models. So he would get catalogs from Estes rockets dating back into the 70s, and he would take the rockets in the catalog, and then he would make them larger. He would build that exact model, but make it 4 or 5 times the size. And so these little rockets that were 2 feet long are now, you know, 400% larger. And so now they're 8 feet long and 4 inches in diameter. But it was always really sad when those crashed, because that guy would put hours and hours and hours into rockets. Not me. I'm very much the slap some fins on it, put the nose cone on, don't bother to paint it, stick it on the goddamn launch pad and let it rip. Let that sumbitch rip. And we had a couple guys who were your, you know, giant guys, giant crazy people who would build really big rockets, you know. We're talking 12-inch rockets, you know, 30 centimeters in diameter, that are, you know, 18 feet long. And put M motors in them. Yes, you heard me. M. As in, my God, I need to run away. Very, very, very large rockets. Good stuff. Now me, I still have a dream of building a D-region Tomahawk. And when I say that, I don't mean a model of a D-region Tomahawk. I want to actually build a D-region Tomahawk. Oh, yeah, because the ionosphere is not enough. Go ahead and look up D-region Tomahawk. I'd love to tell you more about it, but I can't be bothered because I'm out of time. You've been listening to Tobes ranting about nothing. I wonder if you got to hear it today. There's no way of knowing. Who knows? Did it work? Was there technical problems? I don't care. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes. Thank you.
00ミニッツプレサイ